But I'm glad you could be here today. Typically on Mother's Day services, we like to act like mothers are perfect and gentle and frilly and sweet and nice. And so, you know, it's like you go, oh, how about Mary in the manger with little Jesus? But today's going to be a little different. And because I decided to teach on a passage for Mother's Day that I don't think is being taught for Mother's Day in any other church in the world. And it's really a passage that shows us how strong and resilient and tough and brutal mothers can be. And so if you have a Bible, turn over to Judges chapter 5. We're going to look at two mothers, really ultimately three mothers, that show up in here. To give you a perspective, the book of Judges was a period of time in the history of Israel that was a pretty rough time. It was real, a lot of brutal things happened in the book of Judges. Now, to give you a perspective, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, 400 years of slavery. They spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Ultimately, then Moses handed off leadership to Joshua. Joshua led them into the promised land. They began to conquer it, and then Joshua died. And then there was a period of a couple hundred years where Joshua's gone as this great leader, and the children of Israel was just in a vicious cycle of they would do good with God, God would bless them, they would get prideful and cocky, and then God would raise somebody up to take over and to punish them, and then they'd get desperate, turn to God again, and it was just this cycle over and over again. And the people who were leading the nation weren't like prophets necessarily. After the judges, Samuel was the last of the judges, and then you have, you know, King Saul and King David and King Solomon, and those are the glory years. The time of the judges, they weren't glory years at all. There were stories of one failure after another. Oh, here's another leader that we can fail, and then we can keep moving on and keep plugging. But in the middle of this story, we have these two ladies who, Deborah and Jael both, a couple of moms. And Judges chapter 5, we'll start there because Deborah wrote this song to celebrate what God had done. And we'll look back at what he did in chapter 4 in just a minute, but I want you to get the context of it. She writes this praise song, and it says, beginning with verse 2, when leaders lead in Israel, which was pretty rare really, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord, hear, O kings, give ear. So they're putting this song of praise like, here's the thing when things go right in Israel. And in verse 7, she says, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. It was like all over until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. And they chose new gods, and there was war in the street. Talking about how bad things were. Now, when she mentions a mother arose, and then she says a mother, if you read the rest of this psalm that she wrote, it's, by the way, it's not a worship song that any worship band ever plays, which I think is to our loss. It's pretty brutal, though. I understand, I'll warn you. But it was like, she goes, there are two moms who turned things around when things were going really bad in Israel. And when we see in Deborah and Jael, these two moms that she writes the song about, we observe some of the characteristics of moms that sometimes don't get enough attention. You know, we can, and a lot of moms feel like, man, I'm a terrible mom because I'm not like gentle and kind, and I'm not June Cleaver. And a lot of us are like, oh yeah, my mom wasn't June Cleaver, so I'm all messed up because of it. But the truth is, moms are a lot more than, you know, Mary with baby Jesus in the manger. You know, those mother's images that you sometimes see around Mother's Day, accentuating this mother who was just perfect and godly and gentle and nice and wonderful and forgiving and all. I mean, it's great when a mom is that, but for a lot of us, many of us have figured out that actually sometimes being a mom can be pretty tough. And whether that mom will step up and do what needs to be done largely affects what ends up happening. And I think we tend to not celebrate some of the qualities that maybe moms in our lives have had that we should value the most. I know I am so grateful for all the moms who are in my life. But I also think, like, I mean, my wife is an amazing mother, and my son's wives are amazing mothers to my grandkids. And so I get kind of like spoiled, but then I've always kind of felt sorry for myself because my mom, she wasn't really like that. My mom wasn't this gentle, kind, loving. Well, if you knew her here at church, you thought she was, but my mom was this tough little oaky gal, you know, who she's raised in Oklahoma. She comes to California. She's a teenager and she marries a schizophrenic who's twice her age and then raises five kids mostly by herself. And so you don't do that unless you're pretty tough. I mean, being a mom, even just the act of having a child, much less five of them, you know, that's like, there's no way. Civilization would have ended years ago if men had to squeeze that baby out of their body. There's no way. You know, a man acts like life is over when a ball takes a bad hop and hits him in a vulnerable place, you know. Women just like have babies and they keep having babies. They're tough. And my mom was that way. She was a scrapper. She was a battler. And sometimes the things that frustrate you the most about somebody, you look back and go, yep, that's why we survived. That's why I'm here. Because there was somebody who was willing to go to war for me. And that's the case with the children of Israel here for sure in this situation. And why Deborah and Jael are somebody that I think, you know, let's celebrate the Deborah and Jael in the moms in our lives. And so backing up into chapter 4, Israel was going through a rough time, and it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 4. So then they were under the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan. He had an evil general named Sisera, and they were basically taking advantage of them. And the children of Israel in verse 3 cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So it's like they were in a bad place. And so God raised up Deborah. He goes, you know what I need is a tough mom right now. And so it says, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Now, they called the leaders judges, but there were different ones who did it. It wasn't an official title. It was just, there were certain people who were able to look at a situation and listen to two sides and be able to come up with some sort of an understanding or a conclusion. And so she was a person that had the ability to do that. And so a special person, nobody elected her. It's just you realize she's somebody that'll tell me the truth. She's someone who will shoot straight with me. And so she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. They're like, if they had a disagreement or they weren't sure how something was going, they'd be like, have you talked to Deborah? She's sitting up there under the tree and she's available to you. And so then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh and Naphtali. So she must have heard something from God, and she's like, there's a guy named Barak, get him up here. So she gets him up here, and she says, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, this mighty general, with all of his chariots and the multitude at Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." So here's this woman that, she's respected. She sits under a tree. She gives out people's opinions. She'll help you with your fantasy football team, things like that. And she's like, "Hey, Barak, I want you to get 10,000 guys, okay? And I want you to go against the most powerful general in the world. And God's going to let you defeat them." On the one hand, he's probably like, "Wow, so God told you that? That's kind of nice." But then he's like, what do I do? Say some lady told me? How do I go about this? And so, you know, after telling him what he was supposed to do and what God was going to do, Barak in verse 8 sounds like quite the courageous general. He said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." He's like, "Okay, you're a big talker. You have this great vision for me. Tell you what, you go with me. If you go with me, I'm in. If you don't go with me, I'm not going." I mean, sounds like kind of a cowardly thing for a guy to do. The guy who's going to be the general over thousands of troops is afraid to go into battle unless Deborah's going to go with him. I'm not sure what he was thinking. Maybe he was kind of mocking and like, "Okay, fine, you go first." But this is a mom that you don't mess with, because she's like, "Fine, I'm going. I'm in. And now what's he going to do?" So she said, "I will surely go with you." And he said, "Okay, but don't call me Shirley. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you're taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh, and he called these guys and went up with 10,000 people and went to battle. So you have a mom who's wise, who's telling a man, "Here's what you need to do." And she's like, you know, he's like, "Well, only if you go with me." She's like, "Okay, fine. But you're not going to get as much glory from this thing as you could have. Because God's actually going to give glory to a woman more so than you." Now, when you read it, you assume she's saying that she will get the glory. But actually, she's talking about Jael, who ultimately is the one who takes out this general. So you have this story develop. So they go up, they have a big victory, and it goes pretty well. But Sisera gets away. And verse 17, he had fled away on foot, and he ends up being at the tent of Jael, this mom who's like, she's not really involved. He just felt like, you know, "Oh, I just need a break." He goes, "Look, just give me a place to lay down. I just need to rest a little bit." And she's like, "Hey, no problem. You know, come on in here and lay down." And it goes on, you can read it. She got a blanket and covered him up. And he's like, "I need some water." And she goes, "No, I'll give you milk." You know, something that definitely helped him sleep. And he goes to sleep, and, you know, because there are kids present, you can read the story yourself, but maybe she put a tent stake into the ground and maybe he got in the way of that. But she took out the most powerful general in the world, and then she went out and told the soldiers, "Are you looking for Sisera? I have him, he's tied up at the moment, but here he is." So then with this great victory, then Deborah goes, "It's time to celebrate Mother's Day. It's time to celebrate moms who you don't want to mess with." Deborah and Jael. And so she writes this song. Now, as you look at these two moms, several things like jump out at me with, for both of them, wisdom. I mean, wisdom is the ability to look at a situation and weigh out perspectives and know what should be done next. Now, in this case, the men decidedly lacked wisdom. And there were two women who knew exactly what to do. Save the nation because they knew what to do. Now, I would suggest to you that if you think about the moms who have been in your life, instead of evaluating them on some standard that you've defined or that culture defines, you might find out, and I know for me, and my mom's been in heaven for a long time, but the older I get, the more smart my mom got, you know, in terms of there were times when she made good decisions. She wasn't perfect, and nobody would say that about these gals either. But it's like, it's important to honor the fact that where do you get wisdom? I think, and let's face it, wisdom, if you go to someone for wisdom, like for judgment, you get advice, a man is gonna tell you what he needs to tell you because that's what he thinks you wanna hear. I mean, I remember people with Pastor Chuck, he was such an important part of my life, but I remember somebody told me one time, you know, Chuck will tell you whatever he needs to say to get you out of his office, because he had more important things to do. But if you really want to know, ask a woman, ask a mom, and they will just like, okay, here's what I think. And again, you see that with both of these women. It's very unconventional. Anyone can give you conventional wisdom. Anyone can tell you what the book says you're supposed to do. But it takes, who in the world would have thought it's a great idea to pick a general who's scared to go to war? It's a good idea to invite an evil general to take a nap in your tent. Nobody would have thought that. Nobody would have thought like, oh, it's my job. And her family wasn't involved in the warfare or anything. So it's like my job to take out this guy. That's as unconventional a wisdom as it could possibly be. And yet it completely rescued the nation. So I want to suggest that you, for all of us, that we're open to listening at least to what moms have to say. Don't marginalize them just because maybe they say it in a more emotional way. At least if you're going to marginalize women, make sure that you sleep in a place where they don't have tent stakes. But, you know, here with both of these gals, it's kind of amazing what they knew to do. They just had that sense. Now, it's not just that they were wise. They were both wise women for sure. Learned things from life and figured things out. But they also heard from God in like a spooky way almost. You know, like for Deborah, she's like, how did she know his name, how many soldiers to get, exactly where to go? Man, she's just this mom trying to help people sitting under a tree giving advice. But if you're smart, you'll listen to what she has to say because she hears from God probably in ways that you as a aspiring military person wouldn't even have a clue of. And you see all kinds of examples of this throughout the Bible where sometimes God will use someone that you don't expect, and often it can be a woman. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that, see, like today there are people who want to really debate about whether, you know, should women lead churches, should women be pastors and things like that. That's not my battle. I have my opinions, obviously. We don't have women leading our church, but let's face it, women run the church anyway. They just act like they don't. They're like Deborah. But what I'm suggesting is, if you marginalize, the reason why the Bible says specifically that men are supposed to be leading the churches and women aren't supposed to be the ones who are teaching in the churches. But the reason is not because women aren't wise enough or that they don't hear from God. I think in some ways it's because women have a greater insight into hearing from God. And as a result, their hardest job is for them to get their husbands and the other men of the church off their rear end in order to do what God needs them to do. It's like if God had put women in charge in a lot of ways, that would be much more efficient. But God is not in the efficiency business. He is in the business of making you uncomfortable and do the things that don't come naturally to you. And so as a result, often, we see in Scripture that God will use a woman where if he had just used women, things would have been smooth, but his job isn't to make you smooth. He tells women, there's going to be a time when you need to submit, and that goes against their nature. And men, there's going to be a time when you need to lead, even when you're being a baby and you don't want to lead. There are going to be women who push you to be the man that you're supposed to be. And I think any of us, to the degree in which our lives have succeeded, it's at least partly because of the fact that sometimes moms pushed. And sometimes we were put in the position where I need to be somebody who wants to encourage someone and move them forward. I can't just take over. And so I know that's not really popular nowadays to even talk. We want to just say it like men and women are all the same and gender equality and all that stuff. And today you don't even have to have a gender. You can make up your own gender. But this is something that we see throughout Scripture, the amazing role that sometimes women have to tell men, be a man. Get out there and do this. I'll have your back. I support you. In fact, if we're going to war, I'm going to war with you. I'm one of the best soldiers you could have to be backing you up. But at the same time, we're better together than we are separately. And that's kind of how life develops for us. That's how it actually works. And so, and the other thing about moms, when you're a mom, you know how to do the dirty work. You know, it comes with the territory. There's no way that you can be a mom and then be squeamish about messes and things like that. No, moms thrive in messes. They actually do it. And I would suggest that it's one of the greatest gifts that you can have in your life is to be someone who doesn't get all squeamish because things are messy. Moms are like, it's a mess. I'm into this. Come on. Let me push everybody. Let's get together and let's make this happen. Now, with both of these moms as well, Jael, who is celebrated so graphically, Deborah, who institutes the leadership, pushes a man to become more than he could ever be, and then ultimately writes the song about the whole thing and goes, us moms, we won the day. We did this. They're both really smart. I mean, it was brilliant what she came up with. Yes, she heard it from God, but she was able to communicate it in such a way that he's like, wow, okay. Now, the funny thing is, like Barak, who she recruited because God told her to, he ends up being listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. She's not. She's like, she totally, everybody who reads Barak, and then you, Barak, who was he? And then you read the story, and you're like, whoa, a couple of women bailed him out big time. He gets his attention in Hebrews 11, but in the end, we all know who he would have been if God hadn't brought these mothers into his life. But these gals are both heroic. They are really, they step out, they're ready to scrap, they're gonna do what's necessary, what needs to be done, and that's just what they naturally did. And through the process, Israel wins, Israel turns to God and repents, and at the same time, we see, wow, a historic victory that, as she says again, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until a couple of moms came along, and those moms made a difference. I would suggest that for all of us, we can look back, and all along the way, somewhere in our lives, God used moms, and maybe it was your mom, or maybe it was somebody who was like a mom to you or whatever. I'm not saying like every mom is like this. There are horrible moms, just like there are horrible dads. But at the same time, in a lot of ways, for any of us, the fact that we've survived this long suggests somewhere along the line, there was somebody who was willing to get messy in order to push me and prod me forward. And I probably resented it at the time, and I probably was like talking back to that, and yet in the end I realized, how did I get where I am? How have I survived this long? Are there in fact moms who were there behind me? And I think that they are. And again, they probably weren't there in a sweet, sentimental way all the time. Because the thing, a mom that really gets the job done, there isn't time for a whole lot of sentiment. It's like, no, they understand. You are not going to make it unless they kick you in the rear and push you forward and prod you and move you. That's kind of what moms do. And it's later as you look back at your life, as you're like Bayrak, who was like, man, that she was such a nag. And that's why I'm in the Hall of Faith, because of her. You know, you look at JL and people are like, whoa, that woman, there's some inner hostility there somewhere. Yeah, but it was directed in the way that made the people free. It's nice. I think it's cute when people are like pacifists. They just think, oh, I just think we should just never hurt anybody. And I have friends who say if somebody broke into their house, they wouldn't even defend their family because I want to be a pacifist. You know, if you want to be a pacifist, fine. But let me suggest that you better have somebody in your life who isn't a pacifist, or you won't survive. You might really admire the perfect, angelic, you know, wonderful, warm, sweet person, but you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those who will say, I'm getting down and dirty, I'm going to fight, we're going to do this, because life is tough. It really is. And Darwin was right to a degree that only the strong survive. This is how we last. Now, there could be plenty of pacifists who are watching what happens, but the people who truly make a difference in the world are the ones who are like, somebody was there, somebody was pushing, somebody was willing to become uncomfortable, somebody was willing to just do what needed to be done. And I think it's appropriate for us, you know, on a Mother's Day. And again, you know, it's kind of a gory story for Mother's Day. I get it. Sorry, but, you know, we'll give you chocolate after church and you'll be fine. I mean, I always, you know, the feminists have all walked out already. But, no, I'm celebrating women, man. They're amazing. And they've made a huge difference in our lives. But, you know, here we are on a day when we remember mothers. And this song in Judges 5 was written by Deborah and Barak, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. When they're, I mean, remember, and I don't expect our worship band anytime soon to do this chorus. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber. Blessed is she among women in the tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet, he sank. He fell. He lay still. And then a little musical bridge goes. And then you can, like, no, we don't celebrate that. We want everything sweet and warm and cozy. But we are here because people gave their lives and died so that we could be free. And we are here because there were moms who inconvenienced themselves enough to do what we needed done. And some of those moms are still in our lives. Some of them are still in heaven. And yet we're looking and going, but you know what? That's what moms do. That's what they are. That's something that we should honor. Now, there's another mom that ends up being the last verse of this worship song. And this is kind of sad, but it's important too. Because Sisera, the general, had a mom. And it says down in verse 28, the mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" Her wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself, "Are they not finding and dividing the spoil to every man a girl or two? For Sisera, plunder of dyed garments, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter." They're like, she's celebrating. You know, Sisera is going to be back any minute now. He went off to war. I'm concerned because I'm staying at home and I'm watching the horizon and I want to see my boy return victoriously. And I wonder why he's not back. And she and her friends are like, I bet they won so brutally that now they're getting chicks, they're, you know, getting embroidery, they're doing all this stuff, hauling all this stuff back. It's probably going to take them a long time. Sadly for her, her boy didn't come back. But she's a mom who believed in her son anyway. And as it ends, verse 31, "Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength." So who is your mom? Who are the moms in your life who believed in you, who fought battles for you, who pushed you and prodded you and inspired you to keep going? But for some of us, maybe it's more like Sisera's mom. There was a mom that always believed in you, but so far, you haven't even come back. Your mom always believed the best about you. Maybe your mom's in heaven now, and yet her testimony and her story and her wishes for you, her desires for you, are still profoundly there. And I think some of us, our moms are maybe waiting for us to come home. Not to go to heaven. They're waiting for us to become who they always believed that we were. Partly the reason they pushed us so much, the reason they had such unrealistic expectations and everything else, is because they believed in us more than we believe in ourselves. And I think for some of us, it's not too late to live up to what was those unrealistic expectations that our moms and our grandmas had for us. And I like thinking about this because we're still alive. And as a result, I ask you, who is it who believed in you more than you believed in yourself? And so far, it just hasn't quite developed. Your life hasn't really come together. Things aren't working very well. Well, I believe that her voice is still echoing, whether she's still around or not, that you have an opportunity to become what she believed on her best day you would become, or to just continue to fritter away opportunities and ultimately just be a victim. If you're alive, you're not so much a victim that you can't pull the stake out and begin to live your life the way that you're supposed to. And so I would encourage all of us on Mother's Day to be inspired by the mothers who had our backs, who fought the battles, who did the tough work of being a mom, but that we would also hear the voice of the mom who always believed better of us than what we actually delivered. And we would go, I hear my mom's voice. I'm not quitting on her. I'm gonna finally become more the person that she believed that I was, that she thought that I was. Like, some people say that, you know, my aspiration in life is to try to become the person that my dog thinks I am. But it's true. But at the same time, you don't need to carry a burden of, oh, your mom had these high expectations. No, she had dreams. She believed in you more than you believe in yourself. It's not too late to begin to live up to that, to begin to be the person. I mean, I know my mom, she would never believe anything bad that people said I would do. And she'd hear stories. And I would even, like, when she went to our church as she was older, and I'd sometimes tell a story about something that I did bad when I was a kid. And she would, like, after church, she'd be telling, she's doing the donuts outside and stuff, she'd be like, David never did that. That's not, I don't know where he got that idea. He was not that. Don't, you're getting the wrong idea. I'm like, I can bring a lot of witnesses to prove that I was, but at the same time, there's something about my mom being that way about me that inspires me to this day. Like, God, let me be the person that my mom thought I could be. Let me be the person that she wanted me to be. Let me aspire to follow those expectations that are just through the roof, because that's what moms do. And so on this Mother's Day, I pray that for each of us, we would remember the courage, we would remember the strength, the wisdom, the words from God, the I'm with you, I have your backs, the you're better than this, the you can keep, come on, suck it up and deal with it and keep moving forward, that those voices would resonate with us in the same way that those unrealistic expectations are because of believing something better about me than I believe about myself. Now, if you're here today and maybe you've never even really become a person who feels like you're in a relationship with God, maybe your mom always wanted that, but, you know, and maybe she dragged you to church today for Mother's Day, but it's not too late to decide, you know what, I want to be more that person. I really want to know that I'm coming full circle. Not that you're perfect. None of us are, trust me. But at the same time, to at least understand that those things, those expectations that once irritated me were aspirations from somebody who believed in me more than I believed in myself. And it's never too late to start your life to live up to that courage that was behind you all along when you really didn't get it and you really didn't understand it. And I pray that today, if you're thinking about that, maybe you're a little sentimental, you're thinking, I'm just a big disappointment to my mom, you're still alive. It's not too late to move in a direction of believing in yourself and believing in God the way that when your mom held you in her arms when you were a little child, that she had amazing dreams for you. Your mom's not perfect, but let's celebrate the fact that she's a lot tougher than you than we pretend sometimes, and we better be thankful for that as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all of the moms. Every one of us, not just our own moms and our grandmas, but all of the mothers in our life, all the women that drove us crazy sometimes because it just seemed like they really believed in you in ways that convicted us. It seemed like they were never satisfied with us, but they were really just trying to get us to do better. I thank you for those tough women who helped the civilization survive, who've helped the church survive, who've helped each of us make it. So Lord, I pray for all those moms that they would feel honored. The fact that you'd spend two chapters in the Bible to celebrate a couple of very unconventional mothers, that they would understand your heart for them. So Lord, if there's anybody here today who has been running away from what their mother believed about them, and you're calling them to finally come home, to finally turn to you as their mom would want, I pray that today would be the day when they would just do that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.